Pie, pets, and chips. This is a Tuesday edition of the Morning Feed. I'm Rob LaFrenz.
And I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
Jennifer, it's March 14th, making it Pie Day.
Pie Day.
But not Pie Day. Pie Day.
Although a lot of pie places probably play up on that.
There are a lot of specials out there for Pie Day. But really, it is it's March 14th, or 314, 3.14, the start of pi, the first three digits in pi, I guess.
The number that never ends.
The number that never ends. It's also, by the way, the 30th anniversary of National Pi Day.
Oh.
Yeah, so the man who invented it or came up with it or whatever, and I cannot remember. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry about that. But he passed away last year, but he came up with it in 1988. And, yeah, here we are 30 years later, still celebrating National Pi Day, and I'm still always going to associate it with French silk pie.
Right.
The first Pi Day celebration was at the San Francisco Exploratorium Science Museum. And so pie, do you know what pie is? I always have to look it up. I never remember. I was terrible in math and all geometry and all that stuff.
Circumference of
pie represents the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter.
I got circumference right.
Yeah, there
you
go. I knew
that was in there somewhere.
I was going to say, I'm like, wow, she's going to know this. I'm very impressed.
I'm surprised.
So, like you said, it's the number that never ends and can continually be calculated. So now, with the advancements in computers, still as we make advancements in computers, we have we are now getting longer and longer pies. Okay,
wow.
And so the current record was set last year by Christian physicist Peter Troube, calculated pi to. I'm rounding up, 22.4 trillion digits.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's amazing.
That sounds like an amazing waste of time.
Yeah, really.
Is what it is.
I mean, it's impressive, and it shows a lot of patience and dedication,
but it still doesn't
get us to the end of pie.
It does nothing.
But, I mean, if you imagine if you have that kind of brain that can figure it out to think you could possibly be the person.
I guess.
That comes to the end of pi.
I don't know.
I guess that's incentive to
maybe
keep
trying. It sounds like just too much time on your hands. Is what I can tell. Too many government grants or something like that, you know?
Right.
You know, come on, do something useful for crying out loud.
We got a few more numbers. Now what?
With that brain of yours, you know? Jeez. All right. Now, if you've ever listened to the Morning Feed, you know that I am one of those guys who I hate how technology is infiltrating our lives, and the more and more, and we're doing it ourselves, you know, because I want to have an iPhone, but yet I know it's a GPS that tracks everything I do. I use Google that tracks everything I do, and Amazon, I know it, but it drives me nuts to see the government, when the government starts moving in on it, and we have another case of this, and this is in Delaware. And Delaware could become one of the first states to use mobile driver's licenses. And that means,
wow.
Yeah, that means your driver's license will be on your phone, your smart device.
Okay.
I don't know what they do for the millions of people who don't have smart devices, but they're trying this. It's going to be a 6-month pilot study, and they want to see how it'll all work in real world scenarios. And so they're also. What they like to try to do is to portray it as something, this is helping you, Jennifer. This will
of
help.
Of course it
this
is.
This will help you.
It's not for us. It's for
yeah.
you.
And what it says is one of the first things they say is that it will enhance your privacy because, you know, when you have to show your driver's license, for example, for age verification or something like that, when you show it to somebody, it's got all your other information on there.
Right.
Right? So they want
your
to know
address.
How old you are. You shouldn't have your address on there,
yeah.
right? So they say, in this case, it will just show the photo and your age, that bouncer at the bar isn't going to go rob you later on, I guess. You know?
Because, you know, in the dark lit room with all those people coming in, they're going to somehow get your info.
Some places take pictures of driver's license when you go
true.
Through the door.
That's true. I'm going to say, they look at it for 2 seconds and...
Yeah. This will also give them an idea of how, you know, it'll interact with, like, businesses and transactions when you need to show your driver's license or an identification or something like that. And it's going to be, they say it's going to be easy to use, you know. It's always going to be there because, you know, who forgets their phone? Right? People forget their wallets, but no, you don't leave your house without your phone.
Yeah. I mean, you go back, even if you, you know, hour into your commute and you realize you don't have your phone, you're going home.
I'm going home. Now, they say it's going to be secure. The mobile driver's license will be is unlocked and accessible only by the license holder. And it is accessed through an app on your smartphone, open unlocked, using a PIN and all that stuff. Now, they say that. However, this is the thing that gets me the most worried on it. Say you get pulled over by a police officer, right?
Hmm.
That police officer is able to ping your phone
and get
your driver's license before they leave their car.
Yeah, that's a little unnerving.
Yeah.
They can have access to it.
It can be so abused.
Yeah.
And in that case, too, that's telling me that it can be accessed, and it is not as secure as they say it is. So, yet another thing. See, a couple I think they continue to keep pushing for it because cars get such good gas mileage these days. The states are collecting a lot less in gas tax. So states like Montana and Wyoming, where they have the small population, what they want to do is they want to plug something into your car and charge you by the mile. But in that case, they're tracking you constantly, it's just more government reaching into me, and now they want to keep getting into my car.
Yeah.
Now they want into my smartphone.
Ease of use. I mean, how much extra time is that really?
Yeah.
It's not worth any savings.
Yeah.
That it, you know.
I think it's all bupkis, and I think it's just another way for the government to move in on you and take away some more and more of your privacy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it.
All right. Well, enough with the conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theories. What do you got for us?
I've got a happy topic.
All right.
A topic everyone can relate to and will probably appreciate.
Awesome.
So it doesn't matter what kind of pet you have. We all talk to our pets, right?
Well, but really? I mean, do you talk to your pet? How weird.
Philo and I, my bird, we have a lot of conversations.
Really?
It's usually pretty one-sided. But
so Philo does not talk back.
He makes noise. He doesn't talk. Some birds talk. He doesn't use his words, but he makes noises, and he communicates with me. I know when he's happy or sad. Or
like if you went up to him and have you ever had like a conversation or something? Will he respond to your?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. And there's conversation. You know, and when we come home, that chirp versus I want to go in my cage and eat some food. You know, I can understand him.
Of course.
So some new research out of Britain, this specifically has to do with dogs. And apparently if you baby talk to your dog, it actually improves your bond.
Oh.
Now, they haven't researched this on cats or birds or any other animal.
Well, cats will just scratch your eyes out.
Very like, specifically, like,
talk properly.
Yeah. But the BBC says the University of York has conducted a number of tests where dogs were spoken to in a high-pitched voice with exaggerated emotion, which I think is how we all talk to our pets, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, your voice goes up 6 octaves. And
actually, you know, when I talk... I admit
you
it. I talk to the cat, and I talk to her just like, what's up?
What's right, up? What's you up? Don't do baby talk.
I do not
Come
talk.
On. We know you do.
No. You know what? She would look at me, and she would just be like, what are you? You know,
yeah.
How old are you?
Right. Come on.
I'm a cat.
Yeah. Well, again, I said they're not going to apparently do this with cats, so they probably think it's not worth
the
research dollars, you know.
Right.
But what was interesting as well, so they found that these high-pitched emotional-type voices, the dogs appeared more likely to prefer that versus a normal voice.
Oh.
And also dog... type speech. So we're going for a walk. I mean, dogs are smart. They know keywords like walk or you're a good dog. They prefer that as opposed to, hey, bring me the remote. I don't know. So, yeah, if you have a dog, talk to it like
talk
a baby.
Baby talk.
You're going to increase that bond.
Right.
I mean, they must pick up on, and this is just me talking. I don't know if the research found this, but they know you're talking to them versus a human when you use that,
sure.
that type of tone.
Gotcha.
They know it's right. special, and it's just between you and the dog because they don't hear you talking to somebody else that way.
I impressed my sister over the summer, last summer when she was over at my place, and I called my cat and it came to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Came walking that across
never,
the floor.
That was total coincidence because cats are, or maybe your cat does.
She
does. Regularly?
She will totally. She, yeah,
I was
going
to say.
If she's like in another room, you know, I'm like, hey, Rosie, where are you? And then next thing you know, she'll just come sauntering in. Like it was her idea, of course.
Right. Just happened to be walking by.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I think, you know, pets, Philo knows his name. He'll come when we call.
Yeah.
When he's in the mood. When he's not.
That's the thing.
Forget
they
got
to be in the mood.
But
you know?
He knows his name.
Dogs, however, they'll just tongue wagging. They're coming to you.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, yesterday we talked a little bit about potato chips and their helpfulness to your longevity and life and
yeah,
all that.
Three a day.
Three a day with a wink.
Not a whole bag.
Yeah. And we should have saved it for today because today is not only Pie Day, but National Potato Chip Day.
Hmm.
So, you know, we always talk about but people always talk about flavors of chips and what would be good and this and that, you know. So we went a little different for our hashtag today, and we are going with bad chip flavors. Hashtag bad chip flavors. So there's some terrible ones.
There are some bad, yeah, there's some bad chips out there.
So why don't you start us out?
All right. At @Tim_Turum, bad chip flavors, Hawaiian pizza.
You know, I kind of like Hawaiian pizza.
I do too, but I don't know how it would translate into a chip.
I have a problem with chips or even other foods that are flavored to taste like meat.
Yeah, that's
I think it's weird. I don't. Yeah,
the whole
like,
concept.
Like hamburger chips. I think they had they had cheeseburger chips. I'm like, I don't know if I want like a meat flavored non meat thing.
Yeah.
All right. Mad Barrister says hashtag bad chip flavors. Piss and vinegar.
Ugh, yeah. Gross. At Donna M. Langless, lemon chips.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. At Dana Point says sardines and peppermint.
Oh, God.
Gross. Yeah.
That's disgusting. At Simbra 75, burnt toast.
Yeah, right. What's worse, you know?
Yeah.
Burnt toast. Plus, you feel stupid for burning the toast.
I know. You know? It's always when you have, like, you know, the last piece of bread.
I know. You're on the crust.
Like,
you're on the crust piece.
Yeah.
Damn, I burnt
really?
The crust piece.
I burned an English muffin the other day. I was so looking forward to it.
Right.
Nice buttered English muffin. I burnt it.
Nooks and crannies.
I should have checked. You know, it was set. The toaster was set on 9. Like, who did this, first of all?
Right, what were you toasting? You put it on 9, you know? All right. At Dan 081275 said bad chip flavors, liver and onions.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Although
I think
my dad actually might like that.
My mom's the same. Sometimes she'll order it. I don't even want to be at the same table. Right. Like, how could you order that? Of all your options, liver?
And onion? Yeah.
I don't get it. go ahead.
Elise at Zamora. Here we go. Bad chip flavors, orange juice and toothpaste.
That's very creative.
Well, have you ever had
you
orange juice after you brush your teeth
in
the morning?
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's the worst.
You can't get that out of your mouth.
No.
It's terrible. It takes until lunchtime before you get that. Ugh,
yeah.
The hell that is.
Agreed.
All right. Well, you know, it's tough to get the taste of the morning feed out of your mouth, too.
Speaking of good taste.
Yes. Well, we've never been accused of that. Bad taste we have.
True.
Maybe me, not you, of course.
Of course.
Of course, yes. But yeah, you can check out more of our good taste and bad taste on our podcast channels, Google Play Music, iTunes, and Stitcher. Also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn, which is pretty exciting. And yeah, that's about it. This has been a Wednesday edition of The Morning Feed. Thanks a lot for listening, as always. I'm Rob LaFrance.
And I'm Jennifer O'Neill.